7 weeks ago, we began a sermon series together entitled Loved and Sent, and that series was based on a book by the same title. And really kind of the idea was, over the course of those weeks, we've sought to answer two main questions. Who am I, and what is my purpose? You know, who are we, and why do we matter? It seems like it doesn't matter your age, where you live, or any of those things. Those questions we all kind of have go through our minds at different times and places in our lives. But they're questions about identity and meaning. I think the troubled thing about our world today is that today identity is, in a sense, self-assigned. It's like we're supposed to construct it. We hear the sayings, you know, don't let anyone define you, or you just be you, and we in a sense have to create meaning for ourselves based on what we have kind of come to realize about ourselves, or how we see ourselves, or what we do, or what we project, and it's up to us to kind of come up with the meaning and the purpose. And I think over time that just comes up lacking or wanting. But God reveals another way in Scripture. He reveals who He is and what He's done for us. And we get a different perspective. And we come to realize that I can find my identity in Him. I'll tell you who you are and what's been done for you. And our purpose and meaning comes in what He has called us to do and what He's called us to be. And that's where we get the idea of loved and sent. I'm loved by God, and he sends me into the world. It all begins with the knowledge of God and what He's like. And we've talked about this. I like the images because they're clear and they're easy to remember when we want to think about the kind of God that we have. And we can think of it in the terms of, you know, in the manger and in the cross and in the crown. When we think of a manger, get that idea in our mind, it talks about presence, that God chooses to be with us, among us, alongside of us. He's a personal God that wants to get into our world and come among us. He's near. When I think of the cross, I think of the word pardon. He came to come for me. He offered His life for me so that I could have, because of His death on the cross, He offers me a gift of salvation and forgiveness of my sins. He paid for my sins through a sacrificial death on the cross. I have the promise of presence. He came into this world through that manger image. I can know that I am pardoned and forgiven through His death on the cross, and I can know of God's power through the cross, which is a powerful image. The crown reminds me of God's power. He's over me. He works through me. He enables me. And then all along, the Holy Spirit comes and empowers me, works, comes to reside in me, and now works through me. That's who God is and what He wants us to know about Himself. And we come to realize, too, when we think of ourselves, that we were created for the world. And God works through me. He works through His people for His purpose and for His plan. And again, that's where we get the idea of being loved and sent. I'm loved by God. I'm sent by God. And again, three words stand out: the word grace, word, and community. It really is all about God's grace. It's something He offers us as a gift, something we do not deserve, but it reminds me that I am loved by God unconditionally. And here's an undeserved gift, and it's a gift of salvation, again, because of my work, the work of my Son Jesus. For by grace you've been saved through faith. I don't have to present something to God or be good enough for Him to love me. I am. That's a beautiful truth. And then the word. I can know something from outside of me, outside of myself. I hear what God has done for me, and that's what I find through what's revealed to me in Scripture and the Word of God. Again, it's not something I have to come up with or kind of make sense of internally. It's something outside of me that says, this is what's been done for you. I hear what God has done. And then the word community. Created to belong, created to be a part of other people. And collectively, we're there for the life of the world. I look at all this together and I come away and say, I'm loved. I can rest in that. I can be at peace with that. I don't have to earn it. I am loved by God. I have been created by God. And then the statement, I am sent. People sometimes, well, what am I here for? What's my meaning? What's my purpose in life? Well, I'm sent. God sends me with a purpose. And one of those things is to share his love. Jesus gave us that great commandment, you know, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. And he says, and love your neighbors yourself. We're sent with a purpose, and that's to reflect and share his love. And we do that just in the practical ways of life, just by listening to another person, taking time to just kind of come alongside of them and be with them through maybe a difficult time. It communicates, I'm there for you, I love you, I care about you. We're sent to love. What's my purpose? We have a calling on us. Paul says we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Again, there's a calling on us, and it's for other people to be a vehicle, a way in which other people can experience God's care and protection and provision. That word vocation, it's not a description of the job that you have that you go off and find. It's a description of, again, how God uses you. And when you think of the various roles that you have in life, they become the means through which God cares for and reflects and shares his love to our neighbor. You think of the roles that you have in your home, the roles that you have, you know, in through your occupation or in society or in the church. We all have roles. And it's the vehicle through which God then works through, again, to providing care for people. I think the beautiful truth in that is that there is significance, even the most mundane things we may find ourselves doing in life, because if you really think of what it is, it's a way that we care for other people, provide for other people, protect other people. I use the example of even Martin Luther said, you know what, even a mom changing a baby's diaper is a sacred thing. We think there's nothing more gross or mundane than going through that in life. But at the same time, when you think about it, there's this innocent child that is totally dependent on the care of his or her mother, her father, and just doing something as menial as that, what that represents by way of caring for this child and protecting the child, providing for the child. There is really nothing that's too mundane or too low. God says, I can even work through even those things because, again, it's a reflection of how I care for people. And I use people to do that. What's my purpose? It's to go. That's where Jesus said, you know, go therefore, make disciples of all nations. Let everyone know in the world who I am and what I've done for them. The statement we used last week is, you know, what happens in here is for out there. This isn't the end result, just coming and being here. It's what we get here as we hear God's message to us, as we hear about what's been done for us. It's for the purpose of bringing that to the world and reflecting that. Yes, we tell our story about what God has done for us in our own life and what we've experienced. But the greatest story is what God has done, too, for all people through the work of his son, Jesus. Loved and sent. And if you think of all of that put together, all of that is embodied and lived out perfectly in and through Jesus. Jesus knew from the beginning his Father's love for him. And he leaned into that love and knew what had happened to him and what he had been called to do, and obediently he submitted to his Father's call on him in his life. He did what he was sent to do. And all of that, in a sense, is reflected in what this day remembers and recognizes. If you consider what Palm Sunday actually is and represents, everything is there focused in what Christ is doing. And we could say Jesus was sent to ride. Some of the most significant decisions ever made in history were made during what we referred to as this time period, referred to as Holy Week. Jesus is making some very significant decisions. If you look prior in his ministry, oftentimes he would say, "My time has not yet come." And he made choices based on that knowledge as to why he did or didn't do things. But now it was time. He woke up and said, "Today's the day. Today's the day I go into Jerusalem." And before he made a decision about how he would enter, he would ride on a colt, a young donkey. "I'm going to go, but I'm going to go in humility," which is reflected in the New Testament lesson for today. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. He humbled himself and then became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He always saw himself as a suffering servant, one who would come to serve, one who would come to share. And he was sent to ride humbly for you. It's always interesting when you look at all the people at play there on Palm Sunday and through that entire week, and all the expectations that people had for him. The people that were lining the road that day, down that entire road down the Mount of Olives. Because the place was significant because many of the Jews expected the Messiah to be declared king on that very mountain, the Mount of Olives. And when the people were waving the palm branches that day, it's almost like they were waving Jewish flags. It was almost a very nationalistic type of thing. Our Messiah is here. Our Savior has come. Finally, maybe we'll be outside of out from under the control of Rome. They had their expectations. But all along the way, as Jesus rode that day, he welcomed the praise and the cheers. It was joyful. It was very celebratory. But in the middle of that time, as he was heading ultimately to Jerusalem, Luke records in another place the emotion that came on him. And it says, "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes.'" He was broken. He started crying because he realized some people just don't get it. They just don't understand. But he was sent for you, and we could say Jesus wept for you and for all of us. And that happened then, but it's the same today. The temptation is there to make Jesus, in a sense, oftentimes what we want him to be for us. And we can see it how it was expressed in those days through those present that day. You consider the crowd, and everyone was there for different motives and the like. But when you think of the crowd, it was kind of like a call, meaning, "Jesus, you know, meet my earthly physical needs. Make me happy. Be for me what I want you to be for me." The religious leaders, I think so many of them just saw Jesus as a threat to their power, a threat to their system. Things would have to change that they didn't like. Later on, we see where Pilate played his place in it, and just caved in because of the pressure and the compromise that was made, because he didn't want to get himself in trouble. So he ordered an innocent man to be put to death. The disciples were loyal. They were loyal until at times they were tested. And then we come to see that one of them would betray him, one of them would deny him, and then after all was said and done, most of them would just flee out of fear. Everyone that week is making decisions about Jesus, who he is as he's coming into town and as he enters Jerusalem. All along, though, Jesus was sent to ride, and he's going to continue riding. Regardless of what's going on around him, he knows this is what I came to do. So in a sense, and maybe in a symbolic way this morning, we're all, in a sense, holding palm branches. Jesus is riding by, and he's riding through our lives. And I think we do have to ask ourselves, maybe today or in our, where we're at in our life right now, what are our expectations for Jesus? Maybe there were those times in life where we think that maybe Jesus let us down. He wasn't what we wanted him to be for us or what we expected of him. Maybe we have had those times where we said one thing and we did something completely different. Maybe at times our loyalty was there until it got too uncomfortable. It just wasn't going the way we wanted it to, and maybe that changed. Jesus is a great person to know for certain things, but I think for some people, let's not get fanatical about this. Is Jesus someone who is there to hopefully make all of your physical dreams come true? I mean, so many different ways that people can play this out at different times in their lives. Sometimes we're totally sincere, sometimes maybe we're not all that sincere when challenges come. But I think the bottom line is, as Jesus kind of goes by us, is he the Lord of our life? Is he the one that we acknowledge that we truly want to follow? Often people want to identify with Jesus. I don't think anyone doesn't want to, in some form or fashion, identify with him. It's one thing to identify with someone, it's another thing to follow that person. But again, Jesus says, hey, you know what I'm asking? I'm asking for a complete and total surrender. And I guess the question is Jesus your Savior? The one that you look to or need for forgiveness? And that's really what the bottom line is, because Jesus can be a lot of things for us, but do we see him as the person we need to be our Savior? Because that's the real problem, the sin issue. Your shout, your song, your words today can sincerely say and express Hosanna. We can all say Hosanna if we understand what that word Hosanna means. And the word Hosanna means save. Jesus, save. Save me. I need you to be my Savior. As we go into this week, we can truly celebrate the one loved and sent for us. And I like to put it this way usually to help us kind of reflect on the week, the significant week. You should have received your little palm cross when you came in here today. I like to encourage people, just keep it with you this week. Don't toss it away or leave it somewhere. Just, I like to say, just take it and put it somewhere where each day you'll be able to see it. Put it in a visible place. And when you see it, remember Jesus and how he rode into town for you that day and offered himself for you as your substitute. And what that death on that cross meant for you to save you and save you from death. And he says, hey, through this I offer you life and the gift of eternal life. It's decision week. So yeah, we can watch him ride, We can listen to the calls that went out to him. I invite you to come on Thursday and eat and share in that meal he offers to you. And then to regather on Friday to hear the crowd, in a sense, call for his death and mourn and grieve over what that death means. We contributed to it. But what that death means for each and every one of us, and celebrate the life that he offers us through his death. As Jesus rides by us this morning, I guess we could say, may your waving palms acknowledge your love for him and your commitment to follow him and say, Jesus, save. I know what you have come to do for me. And may this be a special week of renewal and commitment in my life today, going forward. Everything that we've, in a sense, shared and talked about in this series over the last 7 weeks were, like I said, embodied and shown perfectly in Jesus, loved and sent. And then the beautiful thing is where he looks at us and reminds us that we are loved, what has been done for us, and again, his invitation for us to come alongside as he wants to join us in continuing that message going out into the world as we go and love and serve in his name and reach out to our neighbors. Loved and sent, we can really know who we are and why we're here, what our purpose is. Don't have to go looking for it. It's been revealed to us in a very beautiful way. So with those powerful truth statements, we can truly have a beautiful week and future. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit bless us and be with us and use us in a special way this week.